When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh by findmassmoney.gov, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Timeout Market. Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city all under one roof. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good, but I'm a little disturbed by Courtney's willingness to eat Domino's pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's really, I'm all for, to quote a Wiggyism, anything that tickles your fanny, but Domino's just doesn't do it for me.
Well, you clearly haven't had it since 2010 when they changed
their recipe. No, I haven't had it at all, and I don't plan to have it ever again. But I do have a story about Little Caesar's Pizza. Do you know that it was founded by Mike Ilitch, who owns the Detroit Red Wings?
Right.
Hockey-related story.
And the Tigers, I think.
And the Tigers, too. And when Brad Park was here, he was a free agent, and they tickled his fanny with the offer of a free agent ball of cash. Plus, included in that was two Little Caesar pizza franchises.
Oh.
Which is, you know, that would make it interesting for you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One more Mike Ilitch story is like, Rosa Parks left Montgomery after her civil disobedience and moved to Detroit, and she actually got mugged in one of the places that she was living, and a friend heard about it, moved her to someplace safe, and Mike Ilitch paid for her apartment for the rest of her life.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, Detroit. I've been there one time. I thought it was a cool little city. Everything's right downtown.
And those two franchises for Brad Park would be worth a lot of money today.
Little I think they folded.
It's like, all right. Well, it's like the guys who took their salary in the NFL in crypto. They finally have made some money.
Right. Yeah, they better cash out now before it
Odell Beckham and the other guy.
Again.
Yeah. OBJ.
Yeah, and the offensive lineman.
How much is like one Bitcoin right now?
It's $105,500 as of last night. So
do you guys get it? I don't get it.
No, I don't get it. Either. Like, how much did people buy? Like, how much did they pay for one?
Some people, your friend and mine, S Carp, was in there for like 15 G's.
Mm.
On the Bitcoin.
Nice return.
So, yeah. It's a pretty good return, but
it's like the lineman. I think he put like 6 million of it and ended up getting what?
Well, I mean, if he still has it, then if he didn't sell out at some point.
Well, I don't think he did sell out. I think he's like, he was able to get like either some 12 or 20 million, something along those lines.
All right. Listen, Mike, you get the comeback win in St. Louis. I don't know if you can. I can't figure out what this Bruins team is right now. What is this team?
No, and nobody saw this coming except for Nostradamus. I mean, Andrew Raycroft. You know, like, he's telling the people that they're going to come back in the third period, and I don't know why. The previous game in Ottawa, when it was 2-2, they hadn't had a shot in 25 minutes, and they're the worst third period in the team going into worst third period team in the league going into the St. Louis game, and surprisingly, amazingly, and just what they needed, perhaps, was a come from behind win. And you know, but there's still not a lot to get excited about. I mean, both sides of the special teams are iffy. You know, you like that Pastrnak broke his scoreless streak. He hadn't scored, I think, in what, 6-7 games. And it came with a price with Hampus Lindholm going down. I don't know what happened there. It looks to me like they call it weeks on the shelf. Probably cracked something or broke something in there. I know you're not supposed to speculate, but why not? But it's a win that puts them a game over 500. The holes are still there. They're problems don't go away with a win like that, but maybe it changes their mindset. Maybe they get a little more excited and they get some jump for it. We'll see against a pretty good Dallas team tonight.
They were 0-for again, power play in St. Louis. Wiggy was asking this question the other day. So what do you do to fix that?
Well, probably different personnel, and they did that. They put Lindholm on the point on the power play until he got hurt, but what it effectively did was, you know, flick the switch in McAvoy's mind to shoot the puck a little bit more. I mean, he can shoot it like hell. I mean, Montgomery made the comment after the game the other night that if he could shoot it like that, he'd shoot it all the time. And I don't know why different people have the mindset to dish the puck as opposed to shooting it, but there's so much more effectiveness that goes into shooting the puck, making people turn and look where it is, and people get free. It's just, but if you're not going to shoot the puck from the point, you're not going to have much luck on the power play.
Mike, one of the things that I don't understand is we heard Montgomery criticize Pastor about his turnovers, but when you do look at the power play a lot of the time, it seems like between the neutral zone, it's like they allow Pasta to carry the puck into the zone. So I don't get, you're criticizing a guy for turning the puck over, but then you have him be like your main guy to bring the puck through the neutral zone into kind of like into the scoring zone.
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, he can skate pretty well, so they think that the speed of entry is one of the most important criteria. You know, they drop the puck back late. You know, it's a same old story for most teams. But that guy that gets the puck late has to be flying, and he has to be able to, you know, take advantage of the gap that's created by that sort of drop pass situation. But you also have to be aware that, you know, if you run out of real estate, you're going to have to place the puck in an area where you can retrieve it. And I'm not sure Pasta has that aspect of the game down.
Mike, we haven't talked to you since Ullmark made his return, leaving the Garden with a win. What do you say to people that say, well, did the Bruins make the right decision sending him out and keeping Swayman?
Go home. Have a nap. That's what I'd say. I mean, it's ridiculous. The kid, Swayman, is much younger. I mean, good for Ullmark if he plays well in Ottawa. That's fine. But they couldn't afford to have both of them. I think Swayman has the better disposition. I wish they had just given him the money right off the bat. I don't know if that's weighing on his mind at all. And he should probably step away from the microphone a little more quickly than he's doing lately. He's got a little too much to say. But anyway, I think he's going to be a terrific goaltender for a long time. And
he's 4-5. No concern about that. It's too early.
No, well, the team's 8-7. They're in the same boat. I don't think they've played well defensively. They gave up a couple power play goals. Did you see the two tap-ins the other night? I mean, they're standing off to the side of the net unattended, and there's not anything any goaltender could do with that. And I think a lot of the goals that he's given up, most of the goals he's given up, I can sort of analyze. And there's been some stinkers, and, you know, I think maybe he was a little shaken up by all the stuff around his contract and maybe taking a little while to get back on track. But I don't have much doubt about him being a steady top-line contributor going down the line.
Mike, the people that know hockey far better than I, that's list is long, but Kevin Paul DuPont and the Globe, there's been the people that have been around the team the longest have been relatively the loudest when it comes to Monty and his future with the team. Do you believe that he is going to be here at the end of the year? And if the Bruins are standing behind him, why wouldn't they do what the Red Sox did and extend him so he has a little more credibility in the dressing room?
You know, that's a good question. I think we did talk about that a couple of weeks ago. Would have been interesting to see. You know, I've been in that situation before where coach, actually, we gave him a 3-year contract to start his tenure in New York. And at the middle of the second year, we weren't playing very well. And the owner said to me, you know, pick up his option on the third year so he feels comfortable. And we did. Unfortunately, he came in at the end of the second year and asked for more a contract extension, and we had to let him go.
Probably threw a shoe at him.
Anyway, too soon. It was an interesting play. It spoke to me that there was some doubt about his ability to do certain things within the organization, notably advance further in the playoffs. But, you know, we've talked about this, too, that they got beat by Florida both years. And Florida is one of the cream of the crop teams in the league right now. So, and I don't think you can look at the Bruins and say they're cream of the crop. They're not. They just don't have the personnel to contend with some of the better teams. And I don't know. It's a difficult position in which to assess a coach.
They don't have the personnel, or the personnel is not executing the way they should.
Well, I don't think they have the personnel. Okay, right now the first line is Lindholm, Pastrnak, and Marchand. Give me the next three. The top six forwards. We always talk about top six forwards. Who's in that?
I feel like your guy Charlie Coyle's been.
No, he's not. He's a third line player. Stop. And he's a great third-line player, and I love Charlie Coyle's style. I think he's terrific. Pavel Zak is not a second-line player. He's been given plenty of opportunity, but they don't have any other choice. So if you're asking me, I'm telling you, no, they don't have enough depth at the key personnel in order to be considered a really, you know, contending team.
So they're back like they used to be when they had the Bergeron, Pastor, and Marchand line. That was it.
Yeah, you know, until they get Krejci back, and then there was a viable second line, and, you know, they still had to piece things together there. But, you know, they're going to play Dallas tonight. And Dallas picked up this kid, Logan Stankoven. He's only like 5'8", but he was a surprise. He's a second-round draft pick. That's what the Bruins need to do. They need to find some surprises in their draft roster. And right now, their surprises are unsurprising. I mean, they're just not able to pick off some of these, and they've given away a lot of, in fairness to their scouting staff, they've given away an awful lot of their high draft picks in order to see if they could grab the brass ring, but it hasn't worked.
Mike, when do you make the decision, right? If you're the Bruins, if front office is saying to themselves behind the scenes, Montgomery has to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but if nobody believes that, when do you make the decision to move on from the guy? Do you wait for the playoffs, or do you maybe try to shake it up and move on from him middle of the season?
If you know, the conversation comes around to, has he lost the team, I guess, and really what that means is, do they look uninspired? Do they look like they're sort of, you know, confused or disinterested or dispirited, whatever the terminology is that you want to go by. That has never, you know, when the team gets to that standpoint and it goes for, you know, let's call it a month, and it looks like it's not coming out of it, you really don't have any choice. Even if the personnel isn't there, you know, you're still selling tickets to fans, especially in this town, and for decades, the byword has been hard work. It's not always been a Stanley Cup, but there's always been hard work, and it's mostly been visible. But if you lose that, you've lost your franchise identity, and then you have to clearly make a change and maybe address not only the coaching issue, but take a look in the personnel mirror.
Mike, what are your thoughts on sending Matthew Patra down to Providence? Do you like that move to get him some time to kind of grow a little bit here?
You know what? He only had a handful of points. I mean, he looked like he made some things happen, but how long do you, you know, go to that well? And the Bruins needed some wins, and looked like he needed some seasoning. I just don't want them to see them go up and down like a yo-yo. I think that's deadly. So I can't disagree with it. He wasn't that productive. I'm disappointed for him, disappointed that Lysell hasn't stepped up. They needed a guy like that to be a surprise, as I talked about. But it hasn't happened, so I can't second-guess them on that. He needed to do more in order to secure a spot here, and he didn't.
There was a time that Razor was calling him Bergeron 2.0, I believe.
Well, he's not 100% right in all these things, is he?
All right, Mike Milbury, always a pleasure, and we will talk to you again next week.
You got it. See ya.
All right, there's Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday. Here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Celtics started out slow, but made sure to put anyone that was questioning them in their place with a 139-114 win on the road over the Nets in the second of a back-to-back. Jason Tatum was one rebound away from a triple-double, 36 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds for him. We talked to Mego yesterday about the physicality that other teams have been presenting to the season every game. Tatum was asked about how they're responding to that. Here's what he had to say.
That's how teams try to combat our speed and our skill. be more physical, up the pressure. So for one, we have to be strong with the ball. I think just moving with more pace, we allow that to make us stagnant, then we become a shell of ourselves. But if we play with purpose and pace, it usually results in a good possession.
The Bruins are in Dallas tonight to take on the Stars. Puck drop is at 8 in a good Thursday night football game tonight. Commanders at Eagles kick off at 8:15. I have a 10-legger that I have locked in before this.
All right, here you go, Courtney.
If you hit it, dominoes for life, I'm guessing.
100%. Well, $800. So
not going to be able to enjoy it with Mike Milbury. I mean, he took an awful lot of shots at the dominoes people.
Well, I'm sorry. You can't speak on it if you haven't tried it in years. They changed their recipe in 2010. I looked it up. So that if you haven't had it,
I've had it.
I doubt it.
I had it.
I think you're fraudulent.
No, I had it, Courtney. Because I feel like you go to any like a kid's party or something. I think we might have had like a party or a get together here in the office for something, and they had Domino's.
That's not
like
the handmade pan.
Yeah, that's not the handmade.
There's too many. We live in a place where there's just too many options for me to be like, you know, that's like saying, oh, you know what? I live in Boston, but I'm going to Subway.
Is that the order, the handmade pan?
Yes, handmade pan. Cheese. Oh. And then you got to get the garlic sauce, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Here's why Domino's tastes good. Because you think it'll stink. But if you expect...
Or you're drunk.
Oh, yeah. Believe me. I still have the Domino's heat container that they would deliver the pizzas in because we got hammered, ordered Domino's. My buddy Jordan jumped out of a snowbank. The guy got so scared he left the Domino's in the container, left in the car. And it's still, I was at Needham the other day. My parents still have it. So, but if you get Domino's expecting it to be good, it's not going to live up to it.
We'll agree to disagree. Head to the 99 restaurant this weekend for a 3-course prime rib dinner. Enjoy a slow roasted prime rib, 2 sides, and a free 3-course meal upgrade available Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Southie Dave with a Twitch chat. What's Courtney's take on Chuck E. Cheese pizza? Yeah.
From what I remember, there was pretty good.
Okay. The defense rest.
Do you also think the band there is excellent?
Yes, they are. Top notch. Courtney, asked to get them for the wedding. They were busy.
You got a third grade palate. That's why when it comes to pizza.
There's a text from Rhode Island that says, no way that I have Courtney going full on degenerate gambler on my bingo card. But that's where you're at.
That's where I'm at.
There you go.
Last $10.
Courtney just said Elio's over Pino's, which is unfortunate. 39 degrees in Boston, afternoon high of 47.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, no retreat, no surrender for your Boston Celtics, and they are back on the right side of things after a win last night. That was Jaylen Brown, post-game Wiggy, and you were impressed.
I got to give a lot of credit, I told you, to the best coach in the league, my boy Jiu-Jitsu Joe. Uh-huh. I think he got in their minds and told them, and you can hear Jaylen kind of reiterating it, like, we can't just come out here and take teams lightly, especially the ones that we think are going to lay down for us, right? You know, the Brooklyns, the Atlantas without Trae Young, and then maybe get up for more of the Milwaukee games.
And Cavaliers next week.
Right. Like they're going to come.
Tuesday, that's an undefeated team.
Right. So that game where I think if Jiu-Jitsu Joe gets them to say, treat every game like you're playing against the Cavaliers or one of the top teams, you won't have some of those games where you kind of stumble a little bit. Because remember, we did this last year. Remember they lost to the Lakers and the Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis
LeBron? Or LeBron, yeah.
And we were like, oh, my God. So
was that when we were at the pregame for the snow show,
if I
remember correctly?
We were. Yes. That was a little bit of a blurry evening.
Yeah, Courtney didn't get dinner because of Greg.
I ate your dinner.
I had a liquid dinner, unfortunately.
I'm working on 2 snow shows this upcoming ski season, and board season.
Is one of them the one that I gave you?
No.
Oh.
spot it could be. Okay. I mean, I think we're open to any opportunity.
What about the Alps? That'd be a fun one.
Are you a big Swiss chocolate guy, Curtis?
I got to tell you, you haven't lived until you go to the Alps. It's lovely.
I would love to.
I don't know that I... did you actually live in Switzerland for a time or just visit the Alps?
Oh, we would visit the Alps. We drove from Switzerland to Italy over the pass in the Alps, and you land right at Lake Como. Gorgeous.
The hardscrabble upbringing for you.
Greg, you live in Echelon. You're the son of an attorney. You grew up in Stowe. Like, you didn't come to terms in, like, Venice
Curtis,
Beach.
Alps, not bad.
It was the mean streets of Stowe.
Like,
right?
Isn't
okay.
that train, doesn't the train that, like, real, like, the train that always has the beautiful, doesn't that, is that goes through Switzerland?
Has the beautiful what?
Like, beautiful. The beautiful scenery. Is that like Switzerland?
There's several trains in Switzerland. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
We can go to the Matterhorn.
The only place I've been across the water is Ireland, and that was because, Greg, it was on your dime.
Yeah.
But I see, like, all these beautiful places where, like, in, you know, like, winter places, and I wasn't sure if the Alps was where the train
probably
is.
Probably one of them.
Okay. And the fun thing about the Alps, it's always winter at the top of those puppies.
All right.
You going to ski again at a snow show? Did you enjoy that experience? No.
It was
cool. Maybe snowshoe. Maybe give the snowshoe.
Snowshoe's
a try.
What is that?
You've never seen anybody who is out snow. It's an Olympic sport, snowshoeing.
Is that
either, or it's a
snowshoeing?
Part of it.
Yes.
They is that when you walk on the snow?
Yes, but they have certain
with shoes.
Things that you put on.
They look like
shoes.
Little like tennis rackets?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Why would I want to do that?
Oh, it's a good workout.
But what's the fun in that?
I agree with you, Wiggy. It
sounds
awful.
Explain that, like, the fun in cross-country skiing. I would like to get on a snowmobile.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. But why do I want to walk or do the cross-country skiing?
For the sights.
But I can sightsee on a snowmobile.
Yeah, I guess you can. But
well, it's no. How do you get your exercise? Like, I mean, you've given up on the blue bike. You're now gray bike only.
Yeah, so I'm like a quick interval, like five exercise, like a quick round. You know,
your
30 seconds,
trainer.
30. Yeah, I'm like that.
What about your cardio, though?
That's it's all in my circuit. Okay. 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds.
Wiggy likes to keep the body guessing.
Minute, you know, like that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
Like a jailhouse workout.
Amen.
Boom. 15 minutes, you're good. You get your heart rate up, and you're good. Why don't I want to walk 60,000 steps when I could do everything in 15 minutes?
Walking is supposed to burn the stored fat in your body.
But the circuit training is the best thing for you when it comes to losing weight and getting the best workout in. They'll tell you that all the time. But then again, what do I know? I'm no fitness expert.
You're not a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Well, I think you might enjoy snowshoeing.
No, I wouldn't.
I think you would.
Walking on the tennis rackets in deep snow, I know for
I think we should do sledding.
Sledding
would
would
be
do.
Nice.
Yeah, that I would do.
Okay, we could
that
do
would
that.
Be funny on Twitch.
Yes, we'll do that. Snowmobiling, I told you, I've done that before. That's the funnest thing in the world, snowmobiling.
Yeah. It's a bit scary, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, just don't do anything crazy. Like, don't go up the side of a mountain.
Well, that's usually what people do on snowmobiles.
When we were at Loon, I think I saw your snowmobile parked in a handicap spot.
Well, you know what? That's why I do have a bad back.
When we were at Loon, I think your car got towed, Greg.
That was...
Wait, did my... No, mine did.
Brees' car got towed.
Oh,
Brees' did, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't leave it on the street overnight up there.
He had left it at the bar.
Oh, yes.
Which was good.
Yes,
we weren't drunk driving.
Responsible decision.
Yep. But, it did get towed.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go a little higher up the ski slope this go-round.
And so we'll do a couple snow shows, and then full slate of road shows, although maybe some new... This is we don't have time for this ongoing debate, but it's out there that we could go different destinations for road shows this summer.
I love
it. Or spring if you want.
There
I
want
to go to
P-Town.
You do?
Yeah. Everybody talks about it being great. And, you know,
I don't think, like, some of the legend, like, the Beachcomber is the most legendary of all road shows.
Yeah, we can't
shows.
Give up
I
that
would,
one. Sorry.
I mean, I'm open to it, but
I think we do P-Town instead of staying in Springfield this year when we go to the Cape. We stay down on that side of the Cape. What is it? The Lower Cape, Upper Cape?
So we could do night before in P-Town.
Right. Do a nice dinner. The great restaurants there.
But see, I think the problem is when we go to the same place over and over, it's we don't explore. We don't get outside.
That's what we're saying. So night before, we go to P-Town.
No, but like there must be other great locations on the Cape. So I know we love the Beachcomber, but maybe we switch it up a week. I'm all for experiencing five new places.
I'm with Courtney, though. Beachcomber is just legendary. We cannot. People will riot.
You can't get rid of the Hampton Beach one either.
You can't get rid of the one in Rhode Island.
We could go
somewhere else in Rhode Island. Like
Newport.
We could do Newport.
That was awesome.
Okay.
Like, you enjoyed Newport, Curtis, when we were there.
I absolutely fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
What a cool place.
But then you can't get rid of the Brunswick.
Well, I'll just go. Maybe we'll do it at the other one that I drove to.
So unless you're going to add more road shows, what you end up happening is you don't explore because the ones you got, you really don't want to get away from them. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, it's above my pay grade. I'm just throwing my ish at the wall.
Okay.
That is awful.
You know what they say. You just throw a bunch of ish at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, they say that. This is Jesse from Worcester. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Greg.
What's up?
What's going on? Sorry. I just was putting the puppy in the crate. So I wanted to just talk to you two things. I wanted to just about Penguin and why I think it's coming back.
Okay.
I don't know if you caught when the Hangman got a letter.
Mm-hmm.
In jail.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you know who that letter was from?
Yes,
Santa.
It was from Catwoman.
Yeah, yeah. And from what you read, it says that Catwoman in the second season is going to come and break her out, basically.
Meow.
Well, so that's.
But the thing is, and I really lean on Rich Key for this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there is a film coming, and so therefore the entire Penguin season could have been utilized just to set up the Penguin and what's going to happen in the film.
In the Batman 2.
Shime would know more. Shime, the Batman 2 is coming next year or
I believe 2025, yes.
Yes. So
yeah, it could be. It could be, but I from what I was reading, it was just that's what they were saying for the second season. But
yeah.
And then I wanted to talk to Courtney about betting and just how I put in $200 since the beginning. That it was legal in Mass, and I've turned it into $7,900 so far. I've gone to Ireland off of it, brought my fiance to New Orleans off of it. So this is just my advice. So I'm on four sites, and I only bet when I get a bonus. Between the four sites, I get about 10 bonuses a day. So I bet probably about $100 a day. I pulled all my money. I have like $2,000 of profit in there, and I bet about $100 a day. Now with the boost, now of course it's the opposite way that you've been betting. It's more reserved. Where if it says like you get four legs, you have to have four legs to use the boost. Always do the lowest, like the most negative bet you can. So like if it says you need -500 or -250, you always go to that -250 or 500 and do four of those bets. Four -400s to -500 legs will equal approximately basically like +100 or a little under 100. You always want to be right under 100. Then boost it. When you boost it, it goes up to approximately if it's a 33% boost or a 50%, say it goes up to +150.
Now, if I make 10... This is way too much work
for her.
Listen. Like, it's just...
I am that gif right now of all the numbers. Like
Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Well, the issue, too, is he talks about the boost, but a lot of boosts now require you to have a certain amount of odds in order to use the boost, and it's just a mess.
Yeah. I have a token right now that I have to use by 12:30 tomorrow.
See,
NFL token. I don't really know what that means.
You see what is being done. Are you at least comprehending what they're doing to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what the token is.
My mom is a bit worried. She's nervous that I have the bug that my dad has.
Oh, God. It runs in the family.
Use that boost, though, that $10.
Just throw your dad.
Oh, my dad loves betting. My dad would bet on two mice running across the floor.
Oh, right.
Never mind.
Your dad's my kind of guy.
Did not say that. Okay. I was going to say, BetMGM's the best odds, I think, of all of them. But who knows? That guy had 17 different ones. That sounded like a full-time job to make $3,000.
But right. FanDuel has so many different ones that'll take you down. Like, you want to put a parlay together, FanDuel has a ton of different options. But take that $10 bonus bet. I took one last week. I didn't hit.
Well, this just says no sweat token.
Yeah, it's not a bonus bet. It means when you bet it, as long as you meet the parameters, you apply the token. If your bet doesn't hit, you get like a $10 bonus bet back that you can use again.
Right, but do I have to put any money in for it?
No, it's just whatever you have. If you have 10 bucks in your account,
just
you can
do
use
it the way Curtis does. Curtis gives us a lock every week. It hits, but he never wagers.
Yeah, except last week didn't hit.
Yeah, that's right.
Hit last
lost
week,
bigly last
but the
week.
Problem
Miami
is
was tough.
Curtis' way of doing things is good if you're betting 15 grand.
Right.
But if you're betting...
I think that's what my dad does.
Yeah,
so the parameters for this pro football token, multiple competitions, any bet type, min total odds, minus 300.
Yeah, so you have to make a bet whose odds are at least minus 300
okay.
or better.
Okay.
All right.
I'm lost.
Yeah, I'm lost on that. I like the $10 bonus bet that you get that you can just apply and then do like a 13-legger, and if you hit, you hit. But I don't know about the what they call coins?
Yeah, token.
Yeah, tokens, I don't know
oh,
about the
my
token.
Dad has already reached out.
Yep. Swinging
very
a miss,
funny.
Courtney. Oh, that's the worst. Very funny that from that generation message. Is not very, good. Very,
well, he put the funny. Smiley face with the sunglasses on, so we're all good.
Yeah, see that guy that
Why
called
don't you
in.
Wager 100 on the Red Sox
Ooh,
getting Juan Soto.
Ooh, I like
we're
that.
We're back.
Be a good. That'd be a good payout.
Greg, tomorrow I promise we may have to reheat it, but we're gonna do some pizza eating in the 9 o'clock hour.
We are okay. All right.
Because I've tried calling. Sean can vouch for me. I've been trying to call Domino's. This
you were
morning.
On hold for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. They haven't answered, but I will. Worst case, I'll bring in Domino's and other kinds, and then we can.
Well, remember, it's Domino's. It takes them 3 minutes to make pizza. That's why they don't get there till 10:25.
My highlight of the day was the guy
if
ripping
you could
the
pizza. Stop insulting Domino's.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, they put it through the
bring
machine.
Curtis's pizza.
That's true. Let's wait till after, so there's no loogies.
You're the one who
it
said
would really
you would be. I know, but just Curtis is now ordering for Courtney. I'm speaking on behalf of them.
Just make sure when you order it, it's a handmade pan.
You're the one who said, yeah, order Domino's and then eat the box.
And it is such a great...
That was a texter.
It is such a great day. Did you guys see who just bought InfoWars after
no.
Alex Jones because of
no.
the god-awful
Elon
things?
Musk.
The Onion. How oh. perfect.
Oh, The Onion did? That's good for them. That's a good purchase for them.
God bless them.
They've stayed consistently funny, The Onion. Curtis.
They have.
They really have. All right. Well, tomorrow, as Curtis brought up, it is Friday, and it is a Patriots Friday, and Jelani Tavai will join us at around 7:30 tomorrow, and Nick Costos at 9:30 to tell you how to wager for the weekend. No more, Sean. I'm being called hopelessly naive by Curtis and by others who know this Red Sox team much better than I do. So,
but we know you're a hopeless romantic.
I am
so.
A hopeless romantic. I have the hook is in the gill, and right. I have been sucked in by the Red Sox.
But like our,
clearly.
Like
so.
Our parlay. Hey, you never know.
You do. That is accurate. Hello, Rich Keefe.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Excellent time hanging out last
yes,
night.
Yes, thanks for having me. Very nice.
Nice shack that the guy has over
not
there.
Not bad.
Not a bad spot.
Not a bad spot over
did
there.
Did you see the toilet? At all?
I did not see the toilet.
Oh.
What's, not until you get home, at least.
Yeah, that's right. What's the
he has the best toilets of all time.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I would have gone right there to the start.
Oh, yeah.
Bidet-style button, seat warmer.
Yes. Really?
Yeah.
Would have been in there all night.
Yeah.
That's probably better that I didn't know that.
Yeah, next time.
Yep, next time, for sure. Definitely
nice.
Next time.
It's nice. Where are you on Juan Soto?
I love Juan Soto. I think there is a 0% chance the Red Sox sign Juan Soto.
What about 1%?
Well, we were talking about this the other day, Jones and I think the Patriots have a better chance of making the playoffs than Juan Soto signs with the Red Sox.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's 2% to 0% is how it breaks down. But
that's a wet blanket.
Yeah,
right
no chance.
There.
Sorry. I know you're talking yourself into it.
Which is
only going to make you more disappointed when it doesn't happen.
I know. I can't help myself.
Well, why visit him?
Why visit
so
him?
They can yeah. tell the fans, hey, we tried. Hey, we were in, but he just, the Mets just they gave him too much. I bet they don't even offer him anything.
Do you think they're flying out there just for optics?
Yes.
Yeah, but don't the optics don't isn't the
not
optics,
very green of them.
Isn't the optics more of a bad look now
yes.
if they fly out there and
yes.
then it's
yep.
a phony
they're
thing?
They're setting themselves right. up to disappoint everyone.
Well, they're not going to say it's a phony thing, but
no,
they're not going to get them.
But
so.
We all know it would be. So,
yes,
like,
yeah.
I
think they think we're dumb.
Really?
Well, yeah.
I think they thought, but I think it's starting to, like, they're maybe starting to hear the rumbles of, like, we see what you're doing now.
Well, like, last year, like, Shohei Ohtani was a free agent. He talked to six teams, I think. Red Sox weren't on there. So, like,
no.
you weren't interested in Shohei Ohtani? Like,
well, no, nope. they expressed that you know, that they would have some interest, but they never got to the point of
right.
a visit or
yeah.
anything.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
Which
know,
is,
I guess I'm being played like a fiddle. Yeah. Like, it's fine.
No, because, you know, that's an interesting point because there was interest in Yamamoto and they made a move, but unfortunately, they got outbid by the Dodgers.
They got outbid for Seth Lugo by the Royals. They're not going to now sign Juan Soto. I just don't see it happening because what do you think it's going to cost to get him? $600 million?
Six, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, I mean,
they have it.
No, they definitely
just
have
start
it.
Paying.
They definitely have it, but I don't see it happening. Maybe I'll be wrong.
But I feel like
I'd be thrilled to be wrong on this.
So why does Cora re-sign for 3 years if he knows that they're not going to be big players when he's complained about talent and personnel?
I mean, he's getting a lot of money. I don't know where else he's necessarily going to go. Doesn't his family loves Boston?
Well, people told me if Alex Cora would have been fired, there would have been 10 teams lining up to hire him.
Yeah, maybe there wouldn't be. Nobody would know better than Cora about his market.
True. True. Yeah.
But what about the fact that Juan Soto has had one thing and one thing only on his manifestation board his whole life, and that is playing for his beloved Boston Red Sox?
That's true. That would be nice.
Was
it Ortiz, right? He loves Ortiz.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Ortiz will not be going, Bradfo says.
That's great. Too bad.
And you know what people who only want to play in one place do? They hire Scott Boris.
Yeah. Guy's already played for three teams.
You're probably right.
5 years
you're
or whatever.
Probably right.
Can I agree with Courtney on something?
Yes.
Ooh.
Domino's.
Oh, Rich.
Hell
my
yeah.
God.
Domino's.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
You're such a
I love it.
Yep.
You are
your
such a kisser.
I credibility.
Pounds
yes.
of Domino's
you
in high school
so
and college,
good.
And I still do today.
You
and
do?
It's way better now.
Love it.
It's
yeah.
way better.
Is it the recipe change that did it for
no,
you?
No, I like the old one, too. Okay. Nobody liked the old one. I liked it then, and I like it now.
Really?
I'm a big, huge Domino's fan.
You live
fan.
In Massachusetts.
I do.
I can't believe
it. I do. It's delicious.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
What are you guys doing today?
We got a lot going on. We're going to get into Sean McVay a little bit. How good of a coach is Sean McVay? It's funny. I think he's a great coach, but hasn't had a ton of success the last couple of years. So is that the sort of the model to go down still? Like the offensive head coach, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruins Thursday. So Andrew Razor Raycroft will join us at 11:30 today.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy it. We will enjoy it. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you for your patronage.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.